Okay, so is it working?
Yeah.
This is K-True Radio. We're here with Vansire.
Hey,
thanks for having us.
Appreciate it. K-True.
Can we get some introductions real quick?
My name's Isaac.
My name is Samuel.
I'm Josh.
Alrighty, we're doing this interview. The interview's conducted by Casey, Hanya, and Rachel.
So just like really quick, can I get a brief history of Vansire? Just like what your band's about, your genre, and like how you guys started.
Yeah, sure. So it started, me and Josh were playing in a lot of school bands together, jazz bands, marching band, and one time we were just like, hey, you want to start a band? And like we just kind of started thinking around in the basement, recording some stuff on this iPad, and started making some tunes, and it was pretty fun, so we just kept it up, and it kind of kept on growing and growing, and pretty much just persisted with it, and now it's where it's at now, and hopefully we'll keep going with it, so, yeah.
Okay, so,
however am I going to get down?
Oh, uh-oh.
Oh, go for it.
All right.
Quick note, this is being done in a staircase at White Oak Music Hall.
It's all part of the plan.
Sorry about that.
Seconds and a half.
Okay, so I know you guys are like college students. I think you just graduated, right?
I still have another year left. This was my fourth year.
Okay. In architecture?
Architecture.
Yeah,
yep.
And then you're from Overland College, right?
Yep.
So, like, knowing that I'm a university student myself, I find it quite interesting that you guys are able to balance like a musical career and an academic career. So I wanted to know how like your music career as Vansire has influenced your academic studies
and vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm pretty lucky at Oberlin in that I'm doing this like double degree thing where I'm working on a bachelor's in music and a bachelor of arts at the same time at the college and the conservatory. So to a certain extent, a lot of what I can pursue is sort of like project-based musical pursuits, and I've kind of been able to spin a lot of that into Vansire-related things. I think for Sam it's a little trickier pursuing architecture, but I mean, I think even the academic aspects of what you're pursuing kind of tie into what we do. I mean, I think we think about songs in kind of an architectural context sometimes, as weird as that sounds. And for me, obviously, with the music classes I'm taking and the film classes I'm taking, it plays into it pretty directly, I think. But yeah, workload-wise, it's tricky, you know, and it's hard to get a lot of music out there. And during the summer, we just sort of do what we can. This is kind of like a touring summer, you know. We aren't really cranking out much new music at the moment. But, the internet kind of makes it a bit easier. We send files back and forth. But, it's kind of hard, though. It's definitely, like, helped in kind of an overarching sense. But in terms of the sort of logistics of getting music done, is fairly tricky. And it's been weird kind of watching it get bigger from our dorm rooms, you know, because we don't tour a lot. But, it works out. So
beyond, like, an academic student, how has it influenced your student life as, like, students at a regular, like, college or university?
Not a ton. It's just lack of free time. It's essentially just filling up free time with this kind of outside project. So it's just like, I guess you work more efficiently as a student. You kind of just learn to manage your time a little better.
Yeah. It's not so true.
Continue on that thread about the internet. You've described in a previous interview about being a long-distance band relationship. Can you elaborate more on that self-assigned description?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of like you're in a relationship. You text, you call when you can, you send things back and forth, and you wish you could be together. But, there's something that makes it worth it at the end. You're kind of toughing it out.
And
it's kind of just like... I think it's in that aspect, it's like, it is kind of like dating in a weird sense, because you just kind of have to make the best of the situation when you're apart, and it's worked out pretty well so far. So, long distance band relationship.
So, can you talk to us more about the name of the band?
Yeah, there's not much to it. It was just kind of, we were kind of struggling finding a name, and so we kind of left it up to chance, and we found a random word generator. We were just like going through it and generating random words, and we found Vansire. That's catchy. I don't think anyone's used it. Let's go for it. Now we're kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, I wish there was a cooler story, but it's kind of just this like obscure mongoose term that wasn't taken. So now we're sort of locked in with it, for better or for worse. We tried to like concoct stories for a while, but now we just tell the truth.
That in and of itself is kind of a decision, right?
I suppose so, yeah, that's true. It rolled off the tongue decently. I don't know if it's so great that it would be like, that's a great band name, but it's distinctive, I guess. and it comes up first on Google when you search it, so that's where, you know.
So, the style of music that you play, would you say that it fits more into, like, dream pop, or shoegaze, or neither, or both? Or other?
I think, like, the live set, we tend to have, like, some shoegaze moments. A bit more than in our recorded stuff. Recorded, I would fit more in kind of the K-pop category. Bedroom pop kind of feel, but never live to a more shoegaze.
Yeah, bedroom pop in the most like literal sonic sense doesn't translate very well to the stage, so you kind of have to make a certain degree of adjustments to make for a compelling live show. And kind of veers in a jammier route. But I think even like dream pop in general, we've been getting a little less interested in over the last couple of years. It's still stuff we enjoy, but I think we're trying to just move forward such that we aren't feeling beholden to any particular. I know it's kind of like cheesy to say, but like, you know, I think making music that you feel good about is more of the goal than like thinking how does this fit into a dream pop context, because then everything kind of starts to sound the same. But yeah, you know, I mean, there's a whole lot of dream pop and shoegaze elements for sure, no doubt.
So, where do you guys get the inspiration for both your lyrics and your music in general?
Man, you know, they kind of come at different points. Sometimes, like, it starts with, like, instrumental demos. Like, maybe Sam will pick up a demo and send it over to me, and I'll add some stuff and send it back. Lyrics are sometimes the last step. I write all the lyrics, and it's like, sometimes we build entire songs instrumentally first before the lyrics really get added, but sometimes at the simplest level, it's just like something we think sounds kind of cool, you know? We're like, wow, this grooves, it sounds kind of neat. And then from there, we just sort of carry it out. When I was talking about like architectural shit before, like it's kind of like that's sort of the architectural aspect, like piecing things together until we feel like it's fit kind of a compelling formula. And then lyrically, that's just kind of whatever is going on in life at the moment, pretty influenced by wherever we are at the moment, you know, from Minnesota, or like I've been spending a lot of time in New York lately. Touring last summer, which was our first time in LA. It's kind of just an informal soundtrack to like whatever's going on at the current moment to that scene. So I guess that's what I'd like to say about that.
So I've noticed that in a lot of your music, you reference a lot of specific locations. As you were saying, you're talking about like Minnesota, New York, LA, a bunch of like different, like very specific locations. So how has like those specific locations, such as like Minnesota and like there, which is like where you guys came from, right?
Yeah.
And like, the Midwest in general, how has that specifically influenced like the feeling of your music?
Like sonically speaking, it's like the scope is just kind of expanded from like a little dot in rural Minnesota, or you know, just you're kind of like in a room, it's cold outside and snowy, and like as the project has grown, our sort of national perspective has grown, we've been spending more time in other places. So it's like I kind of like to think that, you know, sonically it starts there, informed directly by the Minnesotan surroundings, and as time has progressed, it's gotten a little maybe more grand or kind of cinematic feeling, but like there's still some like core of where we came from, of our home, what we know best. But you know, like the early stuff, I mean, it's really just kind of music for driving along highways in Minnesota when it's cold outside, you know. And for some reason, that tended to resonate with people, even in like, you know, out west in Los Angeles, which kind of blew our minds. But you know, it's cool, and everyone can make it their own. So.
Expanding on that, do you think there is an importance of where an artist comes from when it comes to geography? Because today, it seems very, you'll hear people from the East Coast or the West Coast, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we're representing like where we came from." But then it's still difficult to hear like prominent music coming from like the Midwest.
Yeah, I mean, we do.
Yeah, I think yeah. The location someone's from is super important. Like, if you can translate where you're from and, like, the character of a place into, like, some sort of sonic representation, you've got it, you know, you've got something that's kind of true, you know? And, you know, that can be informed by, like, yeah, the kind of internet, the lack of place, but, yeah, it's definitely important to have your grounding spot.
And it's weird because, I mean, the way we've kind of been swept up in is characterized by a sort of locationless aspect and the whole kind of Spotify algorithm of it all. But, yeah, I don't know. I definitely think everything Sam said is right, you know. But it's, like, it's not even the most deliberate thing always, you know. I think it's just, like, I think it's worked out because everyone is from New York and L.A., you know, making music. And it's great. A lot of cool sounds, you know, but... I wish there were more Midwestern voices, you know, and I think it's ripe for exploration.
So I'm not personally from the Midwest or Minnesota in particular, and like most of the people who listen to K-True aren't, so how would you personally describe what the Midwest is like?
I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
I love this.
Oh,
Minnesota. What was the question?
What did you describe the Midwest to someone who's not from there?
Well, it's pretty blue most of the time, like feeling wise. There's like not too much like growth in the winters. The winters are really long, but the seasons are probably like the best thing for me. I guess that makes me feel the best.
It does move pretty slow.
It moves slow, yeah. It's kind of like the Shire, at least where we're from.
Yeah.
It's kind of in between the East and West Coast, the Midwest, I guess.
There is a temporal aspect that's really comforting about it. The changing, well, I mean, that's not taken into account, obviously, global warming's impact on shifting weather patterns, but there's usually like a pretty succinct, but like hard to describe in words, kind of feeling of the changing of each season and the things that happen in your life during those periods of time, and the smells and the lights and the feeling of the wind. I mean, that's so contrived of me to say, but like it's a really beautiful area of the country that a lot of people don't really know about, you know. And you know, adding any kind of voice to people from there to feel like they're being, you know, kind of that's why we like Bon Iver a lot, you know. I mean, that was pretty groundbreaking, the first Bon Iver album, like kind of. It just sounds like northern Wisconsin, you know, and there aren't a whole lot of albums that sound like certain parts of the country, so. But, yeah, you know, you don't have to be from there, of course, to enjoy it, but that's kind of our perspective, I guess, from where you're coming from.
I think it's interesting that you brought up the Spotify...
No worries.
No!
Maybe I should sit down here instead so we have a...
Speaking of the Spotify algorithm, I think it was interesting that you mentioned that because... Stalking your Facebook page, you guys spoke out against the fact that major streaming services were appealing a court ruling of the copyright royalty board which would rule that you needed, like, they needed to raise paying rates for songwriters and publishers under compulsory. I can't stop today.
It's a sorry.
Yeah. License. And why do you think it was important to speak out about this whole thing?
I mean, I don't think anyone knows how bad it is, you know. We all use Spotify because it's cheap and it's great and you can get all the music you need. But, I mean, I think it's important to speak out because of the number of artists I know who just, like, have to work just really shitty second jobs because they can't make it off their music alone. But there's this big disconnect between the way people, like, view someone of that status as like having made it as an artist and like, oh, they can just live off that, but in reality it's not nearly enough to financially sustain yourself. The only way would be like maybe to kind of sell your soul to a label, give up all your masters, and then maybe you stand a chance of making a little bit more, but that really compromises artistic integrity in my opinion too. So, you know, I think it's important to know because these streaming services position themselves as like friends of the artist, but in actuality they're kind of ripping everyone off. And no one knows about that. The word hasn't gotten out, so.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. It's just an unequal like distribution of wealth, essentially. So.
more from stalking your Facebook page, you made a post about this quote from Moses, how do you pronounce his name?
Oh, Moses Sumney?
Yeah, Sumney. I'll read the quote. Black artists who are actively dismantling genres are still given these R&B titles, where artists who are also dismantling genres are given credit. And you were pretty much talking and saying, it's like, this is great that we have all these compliments, but it's kind of a disservice to some of these, like, great artists that you guys worked with,
yeah.
Including Chester Watson, who was one of your collaborators for your album Angel Youth. Can you talk again how this was, like, why this was so important to talk about? Just because a lot of people would just say, it's like, oh, whatever, it doesn't really hurt me, so why talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important because, like, in sometimes subtle but very insidious ways, white artists just get so much more credit for doing something like that in every regard, you know, and we've kind of just watched that play out. I mean, that collaboration was just such a shared mutual thing, just like a shared respect of the art each other were making, and, you know, Chester's willingness to, like, hop on a track was just so, it was really cool, it was really touching, but I think, like, with the nature of a feature, some people are, you know, how do I say it? You know, the music industry has sort of functioned for a very long time, thriving off of the sort of systemic and continued exploitation of artists of color. You see it in a lot of ways, like relating to, like, Billboard charts and labeling of music and, you know, distribution services and the way black artists and other artists of color just have a lot more trouble breaking out of certain genre bounds. And, you know, when we dropped that first track, at first people were like, whoa, this is a little odd, this is a bit unusual, but now I think, like, a year and a half on, it's not uncommon to see playlists like, I don't know, like Spotify's Pollen, if you listen to that one, where it's like all these kind of hip-hop leaning things, dream-pop leaning things kind of jumbled in there together. And I think it was just striking the way we received, like, so much credit for those hip-hop collaborations being a new thing, when in reality just as much or more credit should go, you know, to the artists who are willing to work with us and sort of, you know, fucked with the music and were down for the cause. I guess that's about it. And I thought the Moses Sumney quote captured that quite succinctly. You know, for him as someone who kind of, like, it oscillates between, you know, I think he said once, it's just like, it's either like folk or experimental R&B, but it's kind of degrading the way that the industry and music listeners tend to just box artists of color like that. So just thought something should be said, I guess, but, you know, that doesn't make us heroes, obviously, but, you know, it's worth talking about, so thought we could use that platform to maybe start a conversation, I guess.
So you have an album titled Angel Youth along with another song titled the same name. Mm-hmm. So how did you come up with the name Angel Youth in the first place?
Angel Youth comes from, like, this Jack Pearson photo that we saw in the Chicago Contemporary Art Museum. And it's like this, it was a photo of this, like, bar in Los Angeles, I guess, and it had, like, the bar sign said Angel Youth on it. And it just really struck us when we saw it. We're like, you know, that's like a great, like, title for, like, an album. And we just kind of knew, and, like, I don't know, something about those two words is just like, there's something about the wistfulness and the youth looking back and stuff that is really, like, kind of represented in our music and, like, how we went about creating it and stuff. So
that picture was also on your Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really nice. Okay, let's have another question.
Yeah, we got a couple more. So, can you talk to us about the shifts from your first album, Reflections and Reveries, to Angel Youth?
Oh. Well, probably mostly recording quality, because the first album was just really poorly recorded all around.
We just got way better.
It's kind of been a
DI box.
Yeah. It's been learned. It started with just an iPad, and then had one USB microphone, and now we use the DI box. We didn't even realize that was a thing until, like, a long time. I was like, whoa, you can, like, talk while you're recording because there's no mic out. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, because that has sort of enabled us to, like, finally make the music we really want to make, like, once you can overcome those technical barriers. I mean, sonically, it's just a reflection of whatever we're interested in at the moment, but I think the technical musical aspect is maybe the biggest thing. I'm embarrassed to listen to those first songs now. We cringe so hard, but I guess some people still like them, so that's okay. But, yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting about, on top of that, for your music videos, you kind of, to me, it's kind of what lo-fi would look visually, and yet you guys are, like, you guys talked about how you had access to all these creative people. What made you decide to go for a DIY style?
Like, with the That I Miss You video?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we just thought that'd be kind of funny. We were just like, what if we just do a really stupid-looking dance, but, like, try really hard and be really serious about it?
And functionally, we're just pretty cheap. I mean, yeah. We're gonna shell out, like, $5,000 for a nice polished music video.
Yeah, holy shit. I think some, I don't think people realize just how expensive, like, an ad, like, a nice looking music video is. I mean, obviously some people do, but, like, you know, in the
everyday
bedroom.
Joe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you're up against, like, when you got, like, Rex Orange Counties and Gus Dapperton's dropping, like, music videos with budgets probably in the 10,000 range, like, there's not much you can do to compete with that. So we kind of just lean into it as heavily as we can because we don't have those financial resources. So that's the biggest thing, probably.
Okay, concluding the more serious part of our interview.
Oh, let's let these guys pause.
Scoot past, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
I'm enjoying how this is just, like, building up anticipation.
You see the DIY aspect right here.
So, you guys on your social media pages are definitely very meme-y, I guess.
Yep.
Typical college student.
Yes.
And so, like, on one of your meme videos, I'm gonna play the audio clip for it.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Pop band, right? Yep. Dude, Dream Pop's kind of boring. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people hold that opinion, and that's valid, I get that. What's your band called? That's called Vansire. Vampire? No, that's a group from Portland, that's a different... Samswire? No, I mean, there is a Sam, but it's not called Sam's. Lambswire? Nah, it's like a van you drive in Sire, like the British thing. Dude, what does that even mean? It's like a mongoose and a wasp? Why would you name a band that? I mean, it was just like a word we found online, like, we just, do people actually, like, listen to this? I mean, somehow, yeah. So, like, are you making money off it then? Nah, we've never really made a profit. Dude, you don't have clout.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only question I wanted to ask... the only question I wanted to ask about that was, how did you come up with so many fake names that sounded
Those are, like, mostly real. No one knows, like, you say Vansire, it's just a series of, like, the number of ways people are able to say it wrong is just astounding. Like, I don't think it's that complicated. I don't think it's that hard to say, but no one's ever able to get it on the first try.
It's the V throws it.
Yeah. Van Shire. Once somebody told us in the Instagram DMs, they're like, hey, maybe you should try pronouncing it Van Shire. And we're like, what? And they were like, maybe you could, they were like, you're saying we should pronounce it like that? They're like, yeah, you could give that a try. I was like, what are you talking about, dude? Like,
how do you do rebranding and then, like...
I don't know. It's weird. And that video is just... I mean, that's just like a real conversation where someone's like, dude, Dream Pop's really boring. And I just kind of feel like I have to be apologizing. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. We'll be out here soon. I don't know. I think being self-deprecating is the move. People seem to like that on social media, so you can't take yourself too seriously.
Very Gen Z. Okay, so that's more of the more serious questions now.
I mean, these are also serious in a different way.
Yes, they're actually really serious. They're just a different type.
Yeah, okay. All right, pineapple on pizza. Yes or no?
Of course. I'd say yeah. I don't like Canadian bacon that much, but if there's, I don't have the beef with pineapple.
So for each of y'all, what muffin would you say best represents you? And you can't say blueberry.
This is my rule.
Blueberry was the first of mine.
Chocolate banana.
Whoa. All right. Okay.
Cinnamon.
Nice. I'm gonna say poppy seed.
Oh, that's a good cheese.
You
little cute.
Yeah.
So what is the most memorable dream that you've had lately?
Oh, you had a crazy one the other night.
What was that one?
The one with the church where I was like...
I had a dream.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, you're good. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I had one. Josh was in it. Samuel was in it. I don't think he was.
Oh, we got one.
Oh, yeah.
We got one.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I was on a train. We were going through, like, Poland or something, like, back in, like, World War II or something. So it was like a war kind of scene, or I don't know. But it was like really run down. And like we were on this train, and like all hadn't eaten in like weeks. And then I like got off the train and went into this church and saw Josh and Samuel there. And I was like, whoa, I haven't seen you guys in 3 years. And then I was like, Josh is like, I've been here for 4 years. And then it was just, that's all I remember. I can't remember exactly what you said.
Any good ones lately?
I had the fish one.
Oh, yeah.
I was on stage, and I was with, like, I had to play all these fish songs, you know, like the jam band. And then, like, Trey Anastasio was there, and he's like, dude, you gotta get out there and play these songs. And I was like, dude, I don't know any of these songs. And then I went out there, and I started playing them, and they're like, we don't want to hear covers of fish. And I'm like, this is, we are fish. Like, so...
A lot of stress dreams lately. I had one. Do you know the YouTube channel David Dean Burkhart? It's like kind of like the Lazy Bee. Have you ever seen those on YouTube? There's just like an anonymous YouTuber that I was driving around trying to find, and I was somewhere in Ohio, but it was like the name of an interstate in Colorado, and I was like, we gotta find David. And then I just got pulled over, and that wasn't actually a very good dream. Those two are alive.
If you weren't doing Bensai right now, how would you be spending your time outside of school?
Probably trying to find an internship unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
Would be on stream fly fishing.
I'd probably be looking for an internship or something, or starting another music project.
Don't talk about that.
We were washing dishes last summer.
Oh, yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah.
It's waiting tables. No lab. If you could make any one unimportant thing free for everyone, what would it be?
Unimportant.
Well, relatively unimportant.
Right,
for example,
right.
Something that's not life or death.
Rugs.
What kind of drugs?
No, rugs.
Drugs!
like nice, you know, thick rugs that you put down. They're really vibey, you know?
I don't know. Can't know of
anything. Okay. Well,
yeah, door handle.
Oh, that would be
really fine.
Yeah, I think you do. If you like,
that's true. There's probably a lot of.
At some point,
if you're like building a house,
for all the builders, get free door handles.
Does that include installation? Like, is it also free to install, or is it just?
Well, no, you gotta buy the screws. You gotta buy the screwdriver.
I don't think I can top those two. I think those are pretty important.
Rugs and door handles.
Yeah.
Exit signs.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
All right.
That's
cool. Some groundbreaking stuff. All right. If you have to enter a food eating contest, what type of food contest would it be?
Dogs. Hot dogs.
Classic. Okay.
Salads.
Oh.
Kale.
So how,
strictly kale.
How large would one individual salad be?
Oh,
two, three.
Would you count it by the number of leaves or the number of items?
Is it
full?
The amount of fun you're having.
No fun.
Oh, man, that That's awesome. I do. I eat food. I eat super, super fast. Yesterday I was on the road. I got a cheeseburger, and then he secretly timed me. He didn't tell me, but I just like got it and started eating it, and then I finished, and he was like, 1 minute. And I think I could win any of these food eating competitions. No preference.
All
right. No, not to brag, but yeah,
that's impressive.
Quick. Yeah,
that's
impressive. Pretty quick.
All right. Scenario: if the three of you are trapped on a desert island, there's no more food left, and you have to resort to cannibalism. Who do you eat first, and why?
I got burly hips. I'm beefy.
Dude, we're eating Isaac all the way. 100%.
I'm the meatiest.
Down for the cause. Yeah, the cause. All right. It's all good.
Unanimous. Well,
no thought on that one. Just
instant. I've already thought this out. Okay. Let's see. All right. So this is a question, I guess, about.
Okay, it's over after this.
Sorry about that. We're almost done.
This will probably be a question for Sam. So, if y'all's songwriting process was a blueprint for like a building structure, what kind of structure would it be?
That's a good question.
Good.
Shit. Wow.
Songwriting process, particularly. Maybe like airport came to mind for some reason.
Nice.
I don't know, just because it's like, you know, the travel, there's ins and outs, there's a lot of like input and output coming in, and you know.
A well designed airport.
Yeah, a well designed airport, I think, would be our.
Yes.
Ideally well designed.
Yes, hopefully.
No, we're a poorly designed airport.
Yeah.
Alright, favorite subreddits, if you have any?
Oh,
or YouTube channels, or Twitter personalities.
Madeline De La Rosa. Shout out to Madeline. Madeline De La Rosa.
Yes.
Made win.
Yes, she's a good friend of ours from LA with a cool YouTube channel. She's sort of a upcycled fashion vegan influencer who just does a lot of cool shit. She made the Halcyon Age music video. She's a good friend. Big fan of hers.
HD
is great
with Ethan Klein and Hila.
On the Reddit topic, I think there is a Vansire subreddit now I found. It only has five subscribers.
No way.
And no posts, but it does exist.
We have three more subscribers.
Three, we'll make it eight then. That's great.
So for each of y'all, if you had the option to spend a week as a bug, would you do it? And if yes, what kind of bug would you be? And then what would you do during your time as a bug? Arachnids also count, so you can do scorpions and spiders.
Sorry, no worries. I think the risk of death is too great, so I would pass. And I also don't like bugs that much, so I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I probably wouldn't, because like most bugs die within a day.
Dude, live fast.
Oh man, there's no going back.
That's a logical answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably choose like a praying mantis. You know, that's kind of cool.
For you though. Like, would you be a female or male?
Don't the females eat the male after they...
Wait, what?
Don't they, like, have sex and then they eat the male?
I didn't know that.
You could be a virgin mantis.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go around. Yeah.
Then you'd be safe, yeah.
Wow, okay.
It's really intense. I don't know why they do that.
Maybe I wouldn't do it. I don't want to get eaten by my spouse.
Yeah.
Alrighty, any last words for our listeners?
Don't be a... praying mantis.
Don't eat your spouse.
Don't eat your spouse. I think that's...
Be good to each other.
That's about it. Yeah. If you take one thing away from this whole thing,
don't eat your spouse.
Alrighty. Signing off. This is K2 Radio.